97.5 The Fanatic. It's week 11 in the National Football League, and the NFC East is up for grabs. Brady and Belichick are in town as the Birds look to notch another big win against the evil empire. Welcome to the Fanatic pregame show, live from the beautiful new Parks Casino Sportsbook. Now here are your hosts, Devon Gibbons, Jason Avant, Trey Thomas, and Brian Westbrook.
Casino at the all-new Sportsbook here in Bensalem. We are back. It's the game day. Coming off fresh off of bye week, and the Philadelphia Eagles did not lose since the Dallas Cowboys took an L last week, and it was fabulous, and we have a lot to talk about. A lot has gone on since we've been away, but good to be back with my guys as we get ready for the Eagles-Patriots game, 4:25 kickoff live from the Link. Week 11, seven games remaining on the season, tied with Dallas right now at top of the NFC East. So a big run, we hope, for this football team as we gear up for essentially the second half of the season and a playoff berth. Let me start off, of course, welcoming the guys back from the morning show. My guy, Trey Thomas, good afternoon, man. 12 o'clock start for us, huh?
Yeah, man, ready to get going.
Yeah, man, ready to go. How was the bye week?
Oh, it was excellent, you know, just hanging out, you know, no football. Well, you know what? It's kind of lame a little bit when you don't have any football, because then you're sitting around, you watch other teams, you know, we don't get a chance to really talk about it, you know. But it gives you a chance to focus on some other sports, get a little basketball in, watch the Flyers do that hockey, you know, get a little something else in, kind of give you a chance to recharge.
There you go. Yeah. Y'all recharge, man, recharge the bag. 7 weeks to go. And hopefully a playoff berth we are talking about over the course of these next 7 weeks heading into the end of December. B. West, good afternoon, man. Good to be back with you here.
Good afternoon, brother. It's certainly great to be back. I'm just like Trey. Certainly it was good to have a week off to kind of recharge a battery and to really see what's going on around the NFL. It was great to see Dallas lose. That puts us in a great position. I think even though we didn't play last week, we did win.
Yeah.
Because Dallas found a way to get beaten on Sunday. You know, I'm excited about this week. I'm excited about our opportunity against the reigning champions, the team that we deserve to beat, that we earned the opportunity to beat. Now we got a chance to go out there and do it on the football field. I'm happy that football in Philadelphia is back.
Yeah, and I'm surprised this guy is sitting with us, guys, because so many injuries that have taken place down there at the Link. Thought Jason might have got that call up.
They're calling everybody else.
I thought Jason was going to be that call. Jason, what's up, man? Jason Devine.
I'm doing good. I'm glad I didn't get a call. I wasn't going anyway because I'm
next
too
guy
old.
Up, Jay.
I'm old, man. I can't do it, but I'm happy to be
They don't care about that anymore. They just need somebody that can catch.
Well, I can do that. I
just can't get open.
I just can't get open, though. I tell you that.
You don't have to get open. Just take somebody with you.
But listen, I was kind of happy about the bye week. I don't know about you guys. I got a chance to self-scout myself, my own game. But then also I got a chance to look at, you know, the Patriots a little bit more, look at the Eagles a little bit. So I thought it was productive overall. And I'm still, like, perplexed to see how a team can come off the bye week more injured than they went on.
And
what do you mean self-scout, though?
Self-scout, man. I have to see what I'm doing on the radio, man.
Oh, okay, you go. Check your film.
There you go.
I had to listen to Trey and his Manscaped commercial, man, a few times, see what I can do.
The most popular commercial on the station. Hands down.
Oh, that thing is that's hilarious.
That commercial is the funniest commercial I've ever
seen. We just had someone walk up here and say, hey, what's up, guys? Trey, what's that? What happened to the commercial?
The commercial, yeah. It's a little pornish, but it's good.
It's addressing a very important issue for me, though. I mean, it's a very important issue. It is.
Well, you know, you got to stay fresh, my friends.
Right? Yes, you do. Well, listen, we have an abbreviated show today, guys, because
that's right.
We have an abbreviated show today because the 76ers are back in action this afternoon on the road, end of their three-game road trip after coming off a tough loss on Friday night in Oklahoma City. They're in Cleveland this afternoon, so the game starts at 3 o'clock. So we're done at 2:45 live here at Parks Casino. We'll hear from Tim McManus from the Link to get the latest on the actives and inactives, we hope, because sometimes they're not out quick enough. So we'll see how we can connect with Tim at that point. But guys, do want to start. Jay, you pointed it out, but I want to start with Brian on this one because I'm going running back first. We'll get to the wide receivers.
Yeah,
and all the injuries that have happened, you can argue, B, when we talked on your show on Monday, you said that one of the biggest surprises was the running game, specifically with Jordan Howard, for the first part of the season. And he's been really, really good. He's established himself as the lead back. We're already talking about
hearing the conversations about extending him to a new contract because he's been that good, that important for this offense when everything else has not been working, in conjunction, of course, with the offensive line. But he is now out. Wow. With an injury right now, Jordan Howard is. And with Jordan Howard out with the shoulder injury, Corey Clement already on IR.
Yeah.
Being joined now by Darren Sproles on the IR. He might as well just hang it up at this point. He didn't want to go out this way, but it keeps happening. They bring in Jay Ajayi, who has not played since his time here with the Philadelphia Eagles after the Super Bowl season. Miles Sanders next up. So first of all, what is it going to mean for this team to lose somebody who has been arguably, outside of the offensive line, the offensive MVP?
Well, how we won our last two games against the Bills as well as the Bears, we ran the football. And a lot of that was spearheaded by Jordan Howard and his ability to get downhill, make defenders pay after he gets a couple yards down the field. And so to lose that out of the backfield, the confidence level in this football team goes down just a little bit, quite honestly. Now you're putting the ball in the hands of a young guy, Miles Sanders, who's doing a very good job of figuring things out. But he's still young, still trying to figure everything out. They reduce his role, reduce his usage just a little bit. And also you bring back Jay Ajayi, which is a really cool blast from the past, but also a very surprising one because he hasn't played football in a very long time. And he's going to be a guy that you're going to call upon this week after a couple of days of being signed to help win a football game. So it's surprising. I think in a way it's disappointing to Jason's earlier point when your team after the bye is coming back less healthy than it was before the bye. That's a thing of concern. And I think for the Philadelphia Eagles and their fans, you absolutely should be concerned about that.
Yeah, that's a good point, man, because never have I seen a team, and I'm just going to say in what I remember, have I seen a team come out of the bye week in worse shape than they did when they went in. You know,
And Trey, because a lot of, when we've gone into the bye week, a lot of you and you during the morning show, this is the time to get healthy.
Yeah.
Time to recoup and recover. Yeah. And all of a sudden, here's this injury with his shoulder. Darren Sproles now in the IR. We'll get to the wide receivers. Alshon Jeffrey out. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. How do you come off worse now?
Yeah.
It was it was just a lack of, like, disclosure because we didn't know how serious the injuries were to Jordan Howard and or Alshon Jeffrey. So to just hear it this week without hearing it over the bye week, and you know you think the bye week can fix a lot of injuries. So to hear it just, you know, resounding this week was kind of, you know, a shock to me because it makes me question a lot of things. I don't necessarily know about the medical staff. I don't necessarily know about the players and are they trying to, you know, I'm pretty sure no one's trying to get out of the game. It's just weird.
Well,
you
got to remember this. Jordan Howard is on a one-year deal. So
yes.
For him, he has to produce to get that next contract. So I don't think, and I don't think he's the type of guy to sit out a game, especially a pivotal game at this point. So I think it, in my opinion, it's fair to question the medical staff. It's fair to question after we've seen what happened with Darren Sproles, who never really got healthy. Maybe it's his age. I don't know what's going on with Jason Peters. Maybe it's his age.
It's weird.
Obviously, DeSean Jackson won't come back this year. Maybe it's his age. But at the same time, you have some young guys that should be participating. You got 2 weeks off. And everyone knows you're not going to be healthy at any point in the season after the first week of practice, but you expect these guys to be healthy enough after the bye to be able to play. It's just disappointing, and you certainly got to take a look at the medical staff because of that.
You know what? Before I look at the medical staff, I look at the strength conditioning group.
Absolutely.
Because they're the ones that's supposed to be getting you prepared, that's supposed to be getting you strong enough so that you can get through the season, you know? So by the time you get to the medical staff, the strength conditioning is already kind of failed you, I guess. And not say failed you, but you weren't strong enough, your body wasn't ready for you to be able to hold up to the 16-game season. So before I look at the medical, I always look at the strength and conditioning group because, like, what are you doing that's making a world that's not allowing these guys to make it through the season?
Right. Mm. Well, you got to prepare these guys. You got to put that hard outer shell on them, prepare for the season. And throughout the season, it's about maintenance. It's about getting guys healthy from week to week. I kind of make the joke about the medical and the training staff. It's you're literally putting guys back together on Monday and Tuesday just so they can practice Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. You got to put the pieces back together. And I think over the last couple of years, after they fired, you know, the medical staff that have been there for a long time, there has to be questions to that staff as well. And so, listen, it's not all their fault. Who knows exactly what happened with the issue? But I think it's fair to question them.
But you don't think that stems from the head coach? Like, so for an example, if the head coach is known to be a player's coach and he's known to give guys rest, known to give guys off the preseason, you don't think that becomes a mentality and a culture that can trickle down into the medical staff and in the training room where guys are not prepared because they're trying to, in a quote of being healthy, not do as much work rather than going through the rigors of a hard training camp, hard preseason, so their body can be able to kind of acclimate to that?
Yeah, I think so too. I think that is the way of the league now, just because of the way you've gone through training camp. You haven't really hardened the skins per se. You haven't, you know, gotten those calluses yet. So, you know, it kind of, you get through the season, then you start getting banged up. One of the things I look at also is just, now when I look at the medical staff and I point blame, I look at, all right, why weren't some of these guys that had surgeries, why wasn't that handled right away? Like DeSean Jackson, you knew that surgery was going to be an option. Why wasn't that just like, hey, let's go ahead and knock that out? You knew that Jason Peters was going to have to get his knee scoped. Why wasn't that knocked out right out the gate instead of making him sit 4 or 5 games, and then now you have the scope and now he's just getting back on the field? That should have been knocked out right out the gate. Yeah. If you knew that his knee was messed up, what's going on with and those are just the two surgeries that I can think of that we know of.
Yeah.
So I don't know anything else as far as who had to have surgery. That's the only thing I question when it comes to the medical staff is why are the surgeries so late in the game?
Well, that was the point that you brought up last week or a week ago, that maybe because back in the day, I'm not saying they didn't give us the choice, but there was a strong push towards, listen, this is how you're going to get healthy the quickest. This is what you need to do, whether it's surgery, whether it was whatever it was.
This is what they would say to you guys when you played.
Yeah, right, okay, let's do this. This is how you help your team. And listen, we can't sit here and say that they didn't say it or they didn't demand it. But at the same time, we're talking about the results. What we see on the field, the guys are coming back or not. And the guys aren't getting healthy fast enough. They can't come back to help the team. So I think there's a lot of different things. It could be the preparation in the weight room, the training room. It could be the softer camps that guys are going through. But it also could be, you know what, coach is saying that we're doing it a different way than we used to do it. Now it's time to say, listen, let's put our foot on the neck just a little bit and say, you got to go out there and play. This is how you're going to help us win.
Yeah, I agree with that, and that's what you, as a player in those times, you got a kind of ultimatum. Listen, you get the surgery, you can go get a second opinion. You get the surgery, you got by this time to get that second opinion. If not, you know, we got to put you on IR.
Well,
you know what I mean, and it kind of put the fuel under you to make a decision, and the decision was usually in the best interest of the team, and knowing that the surgery would be the best thing for you going forward anyway.
So now we're stuck with Jay Ajayi, who hasn't played in a long time.
Yeah,
Jay Ajayi.
We got Jordan Matthews coming back.
Yeah,
got him over the mm-hmm. bye week, and we're talking about adding those two players to two key positions to our football team. Two key positions that we were getting great production from their running back, and now that changes with Jay Ajayi, which I actually like his style. I don't know what type of shape he's going to be in. I don't know what type of, you know, conditioning, what type of shell you talk about that shell. How could you possibly have a shell if you haven't played?
I think he's going to come in excellent shape. I think he's going to be in good shape. I mean, you know, you've been running on the treadmill for all this time. You know, he's going to be in shape.
Is he going to be in football shape?
He's not in football shape. You know, he hasn't been hit. He hasn't had to take on a blitzer. He hasn't had that whatever hand that he totes the ball. What is he, right hand? So he hasn't had that hand challenge yet where somebody's going to go after the ball.
Yeah.
So
and the Patriots are leading the league in takeaways.
When guys come back like this, generally it's a soft tissue injury
that
slows them down just a bit. When I came in, it was my last year, my year in San Francisco, and I was chilling all summer long. I might have worked out for a week or so. That got the call. And I went out there, first preseason game, promptly tore my doggone hamstring right away.
Just because
your body is just, you're not, no matter how much you work out, you're not in shape for football.
Yeah. Sure.
And so, you know, so again, we're back to Jordan Matthews, we're back to Jay Ajayi. I think Jordan could help us. Do you think Jordan can help us a little bit?
Hang on. We'll get into the Fanatic pregame show. It's presented by the new Parx Casino Sportsbook app in the App Store or at parxcasino.com/PA. Use the promo code GREEN. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Trey Thomas, Brian Westbrook. I'm Devon Givens. Jason Devont. To Brian's question about Jordan Matthews.
Do I think that he can help us? Yes. I think that he can help us just in his reliability and especially his history with Carson. Carson seems to trust him a little bit more than the guys that he has on the field today. So I think that he can be a positive influence. How much will he impact with his lack of speed? And, like, he can convert third downs and different things like that, but you need a playmaker, like one that's going to open up the defense, one that's going to keep a guy honest, one that's going to occupy
the best corner. He doesn't replace Deshaun Jackson.
No, he's not going to replace a guy like that. He's not going to replace Alshon Jeffrey. So it just makes it harder for Nelson for me, because would you have to leave Nelson outside, put him inside, or vice versa? I don't think either one thrives in their new position.
Well, let me ask you guys this, because I've been thinking about it. If you got to go out and get a guy in Jordan Matthews who hasn't played in basically a year, you get a guy in Jay Ajayi who basically hasn't played in a year, who are the guys on the practice squad? Who are these younger guys that you're trying to develop? What's going on with that system? Because at some point, you know, you have to have backups. At some point, this is the thing. One thing we talked about this team at the beginning of the season, they're a deep roster, they're a deep team. And now that depth is being tested. And we're getting out, we're going out and picking up guys that haven't played football at all in 2019. To me, that's a little bit surprising and worrying when you think about how good this football team could be with these guys that have not played at all in 2019.
Well, we saw that really come to play as guys started to go down. When Deshaun went down immediately in week number two and you weren't getting in production from the wide receivers, Hollins and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, already a question right there. When Jason Peters would go down, Andre Dillard came in and played well, so that was not an issue. Running back-wise, we've seen the same people, but on the cornerback side, when your two starters are down, Darby starts off the season, then goes down, Mills not there, Sidney Jones can't play. We are already hit with that question of the depth. Yeah. And that was making it even worse because, B, when you say that, where were those guys early in the season if you needed that help from someone like Greg Ward, who they keep around, right? Boston Scott comes up later because Darren Sproles gets hurt, and they need him more for special teams work. He helps out in the ground game like two games specifically. Other than that, we haven't seen it. So the depth just simply hasn't been there. Linebackers, defensive line help. You've seen too many new people come in with Akeem Spence and, right, all these different names. As you're pointing out, the guys who needed to step up, next man up, they have not been the next man up. It's been next man, who do we find out there on the street?
Well, yeah, so one of the reasons that is because the way the CBA's handled. So if a veteran player is signed off the street, you can cut him right away.
Okay.
But a younger guy has to be up four games, right? So if you bring a guy off practice squad, he has to be up four games. And now the guy that you're replacing him with is healthy again. Now you're stuck with two guys on the roster.
Sure.
So you bring a guy in off the street. So when a guy that you want in there, like Alshon Jeffrey, is healthy again, you can cut the older guy. So that's why they do it that way, unless the young guy is showing that much, good play in practice that you're saying, okay, he's going to be up for the remainder of the season, and I don't want to chance that.
You know, it's a tough situation. These guys, we're putting our team in a very tough situation, especially going into one of the most important games of the season. Really, this part of the season is where you got to add up some wins. You got to accumulate some wins because you're trying to win a division at the end of the day. I know it's going to come down to playing the Cowboys, but we're going to have to try to accumulate some wins here.
Yes.
And it's just tough to do with guys coming off the streets. It just really is. True. And it just makes me also question, as you develop these guys, part of the coach's job is two things: picking good players and developing those players. And we haven't seen anybody develop.
We've gone over the picking the players already all year long.
That hasn't been great. And developing players haven't been great.
Yeah.
One of the things, and I'll never forget it, one of the hardest working guys was Trey's coach, offensive lineman, Juan Castillo. And when we talk about developing guys, he was the poster boy for that. I'm talking about guys like Jamal Jackson, Artis Hicks. They weren't starters.
Nick Cole.
Yeah. I mean, these guys played because they had to play. And when they had the opportunity to play, they stepped up and were ready to play at a moment's notice. Any position, left guard, right guard, center, no matter what. That was because Juan, and Trey could talk to it more than I can, but Juan worked those guys out every single day as if they were starting. And you just have to wonder, maybe it's part of the CBA rules where guys can't work out as much, or maybe it's the coaching philosophy, but we're talking about developing guys we still have to have the ability to develop some players because injuries will happen every single season.
Yeah, and it's not just it wasn't Juan was like the poster boy for, but you start to think about it, it's Greg Lewis, yeah. It's Hank Bassett,
That's right.
The fourth round picks, the fifth round picks that stayed around, right? Just think about our receivers that have been drafted fourth, fifth round, second round, whatever. They're not producing. So that goes back to, you know, picking players, and that goes back to training them, you know. So it's been, the ball has been dropped there to some extent.
Well, we got these two guys in here, Jay Ajayi, Jordan Matthews, and now we got to figure out how to wait to get our offense working. We'll talk about that. But I'm excited about the opportunity. I think that we have certain advantages against this New England football team. We'll talk about it a little bit later. But I think if we can take advantage of some of those things, get some of production from Jay Ajayi and Jordan Matthews, I still think we have a chance of winning this football game.
And, of course, guys, this place here, as we are every week right here at the all-new Parks Casino at the Sportsbook, is a different start time for us as we are late game 425, but this place is already moving with a lot of people coming in and out of here at this all-new, sleek, state-of-the-art Sportsbook. Quite a place, roomy 7,500 square foot space, lots of state of the art touches with sweeping 156 foot high definition video wall that can show up to 36 games at once. Spacious bar, 3 VIP areas to watch all the action with. Your plenty of foods and drinks, full menu, wine, cocktails available. All of that great stuff. This is the place to be. We've said it all year. It's the place to be on game days. Located Street Road exit off of 95 in the PA Turnpike. You must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. And the Fanatic pregame show is brought to you by Goldenberg's Peanut Chews in partnership with the Philadelphia Eagles, serving fans delicious, chewy, chocolatey, bite-sized pieces loaded with crunchy peanuts. We'll hear from Tim McManus again from the link to give us the latest on the Birds. When we come back, guys, I do want to get your thoughts on how the running game is now going to be used with Miles Sanders. What have you seen from the rookie to make us feel good? As you said, Brian, you feel good about the opportunity. It's now his football as the lead guy coming out of the backfield, so we'll definitely get into that. It is the Fanatic pregame show. Live from Parks Casino here at the all-new Sportsbook here in Bensalem. Trey Thomas, Brian Westbrook, Jason Devon. I'm Devon Givens. Pre-game show live from Parks right here on the Fanatic.
This is the Fanatic pregame show live from the beautiful new Parks Casino Sportsbook on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Listen, guys, I've been telling you all year, thousands of you have joined me, and I'm happy about that, to set up the accounts to bet online with my guys at Parks Casino Sportsbook, the number one casino in all of Pennsylvania, the home team right here in the Delaware Valley. Let's talk about some future bets. This is when you can bet on things like who will win the NFC and who will win the AFC. You know, you're feeling good about Philadelphia, you're feeling good about New England. Today's a big game to make you feel even better about it, and who will have the most passing yards, the most receiving yards, rushing yards for the entire season. Who are you placing your bets on? Well, all you got to do, a $100 bet on San Fran to win against for the NFC. You get $300. That $100 bet on New Orleans to win the NFC gets you $240. A $100 bet on the Birds to win the NFC wins $1,000. See how easy it is in the AFC. How about a $100 bet on Baltimore or Kansas City to win the AFC? And that will win you up to $450. Or you can bet on the most regular season passing yards. A $100 bet on Carson Wentz wins $15,000. He really has to step it up to do that, but he can do it. So many sports bets, so much fun. Spreads, props, parlays, teasers. Download the app now or go to parkscasino.com/PA. Using the promo code GREEN, get your risk-free bet up to $500. You risk-free bet, refund it as account credit. Bet with the best, Parks Casino and Sportsbook, online or in person here at this great sportsbook. You must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Seven five, The Fanatic.
guy just said, you can find out where you can get the Deetson Watson Mobile Broadcast Center. Well, let me tell you, come on out to Parks today for our pregame show and check out our Deetson Watson Mobile Broadcast Center presented by Deetson Watson's all-new Deets Nuts, the world's first meat nut. Get info at DeetsonWatson.com. The pregame show, Trey Thomas, Brian Westbrook, Jason Avant, Devon Givens with you until 2:45 right here on 97.5. The Fanatic guys, we've been talking about the running game as we broadcast live from this great sports book. B, how are you using Miles Sanders now? How confident in what you've seen from the rookie thus far, both as a pass catcher and most certainly, of course, today where he's going to be the guy really toting the rock? What has he done over the course of this season to make you feel comfortable that in this game against the Patriots, a very good defense, that the different style, I'm assuming, that they're going to use Doug Peterson in the play calling with Miles Sanders is going to be successful today?
Well, I think what we've seen from Miles Sanders is maturity. We've seen him get better as a player. I think the biggest issue for him was a couple of fumbles that he had early on in the season. But I think he's starting to understand how to run now. And so part of the NFL is about setting up your blocks, reading your blocks, and not thinking about outrunning guys to the sideline. There was a plenty of times we're doing an outside zone, and the premise of the play is to make it look like you're trying to get outside and then affect the defensive end, which is getting blocked by the tackle, and to get inside of him. And I think Miles Sanders has done a much better job of inside running, which he needed to do. When he first started, he was just trying to get to the edge, use his speed. And guys in the NFL are way too good at the angles. They're way too fast for you just to be thinking about getting outside. And so what Doug Peterson has done is to put the running backs at the top of the eye, the quarterback underneath the center, and run downhill at a defense. And Miles Sanders has done a pretty good job of really, it's been more about Jordan Howard. And, you know, I think our running game this week will be a little bit different. And when I talked about Jordan Howard at the beginning of the season, I said I hated him running out of the shotgun formation.
Yep.
But
mm-hmm.
I think Jay Ajayi actually is a much better shotgun type of runner. He's the guy that he's quick enough. We're talking about the old Jay Ajayi, the one that we saw play a couple years ago, right?
Yeah.
He's quick enough. He's able to be powerful enough. He has good enough vision to work out of the shotgun. And so I think this is a new look that we're going to be giving the Patriots just a bit today, running out of the shotgun just a bit with Jay Ajayi, especially with Miles Sanders. And I think trying to find a way, because the Patriots play a bunch of man-to-man, to get Miles Sanders one-on-one with some of their linebacker core and try to exploit that.
Trey, how do you adjust as an offensive lineman with the difference between the two and knowing that they'll be out there together in terms of Howard and Sanders, but now with Sanders being the lead guy, Jay Ajayi coming in differently, how does the offensive line then have to adjust?
I don't think they have to adjust much. I mean, you just go out there and you block your man. You know, you hang on to your double teams and you work those double teams all the way up to your linebackers. And you just kind of hang on to your blocks. I mean, I don't think it's anything that has to be changed schematically. My only concern with this, when you're dealing with younger running backs and you're dealing with Bill Belichick, a defensive-minded coach, what is he going to do against them? He's going to blitz them to death if it's a passing situation. When you have a Miles Sanders, you have a Boston Scott, and also when you have a situation where Jay Ajayi is coming back, I would expect a lot of blitz, especially when you have a secondary that can get out there and play man against your receivers.
Sure.
You don't have a speedster that you have to worry about deep threat or making sure that you can't blitz. So I would expect a lot of blitzing coming in this game. I think that what's going to have to be important is Kelsey has to be on point with making his decisions on who he's going to point, which five guys are the offensive line going to take care of, and then the running back needs to make sure that he's on point on which dual read that he has, because the offensive line can't protect everybody. And I think also Carson is neither going to be aware of what his hot reads are, because I think that's going into that game. If I were going as a defensive-minded coach, I would blitz the heck out of his team just because you have some young running backs.
Jay, see, and I think what Trey is saying is absolutely right. We'll see a lot of blitz out of the Patriots just a bit. But what does that mean to the receivers as they face a blitz, especially the running backs are going to be out of it because now they're blocking? What does that mean to Jordan Matthews? What does that mean to the guys, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Nelson Aguilar? What does that mean if you're getting steady blitz from the New England Patriots?
Well, I'll say this before I get to that, Westbrook, is that what I see out of Miles Sanders is that I've seen maturation out of him as far as, you know, him being able to protect the football. We're talking about a guy that fumbled the ball on every 30 carries in college, right? So every 30 carries, he fumbled one, right? So it's a guy that hadn't put the ball on the ground in a long period of time. It bothers me because this game, this defense has 27 turnovers,
right?
So
and they go after the ball.
And they will go after the football. And knowing you have a young guy, it makes them more motivated. That has fumble history to go after the football. So this is a big game for Miles to see if he can run between the tackles and be the low, you know, carrying running back. So I think it's a great opportunity. That's what you look at it as a playmaker, as that. And knowing that they will blitz because he's young, it gives the opportunity to the receivers to get open, right? So whenever you blitz, you have to step in someone's face, and Trey mentioned it as well, is that they are great at playing man-to-man. Man-to-man, to me, press coverage was my favorite part of the football game, right? Because now it's a guy one-on-one. If you get open, you get the football. And that's the easiest way in the National Football League to stay around is when people press you, can you get open and catch the football? So everyone today will have an opportunity down the field. You can run go routes. Even if you're not fast, just throw the ball up, right, and have an opportunity in press coverage when the guy's back is turned. So this is one of those games where, as a receiver, you love it when you're competitive and you're a playmaker.
I absolutely agree with you. I think the good thing, and listen, this is what we've seen from the New England Patriots the last 2 weeks. They've average giving up over 180 yards against the Browns as well as the Ravens the last 2 weeks. Two teams that ran the football down their throat. They were out physical at the line of scrimmage, the Patriots were, and Nick Chubb had his way. They were out physical at the line of scrimmage, and they were confused by what Lamar Jackson offered last week.
Yep.
And the Baltimore Ravens had their way running the football. Now it's our opportunity, and I have to believe that with the continuity that our offensive line has shown over these last few weeks, downhill running the football is the way to go. I also kind of think, based on what I saw from the Patriots last week against Lamar Jackson, and of course, Carson Wentz is not Lamar Jackson. There's really nobody in the NFL that's that explosive. But the RPOs may be a really good way to go in this football game.
Yeah. I think having Carson get out there and run the ball a little bit more will definitely be effective, especially when you have a situation where, like you said, if the defense, everybody, when he snaps the ball and he notices that everybody, when he looks out there and all the defensive players have their back to him, then all right, you can pick a lane and go ahead and get upfield. You just can't be robotic when it comes to it. You can't have the same way of that how you escape the pocket, because you have to be more like a Russell Wilson type quarterback like take Tony Romo, for example, back when he played quarterback. He always circled back out a certain type of way.
Yeah.
He had a certain type of way that he wanted to circle out of the pocket. When you look at Russell Wilson, he will take whatever gap that's open and get upfield. So I think that that's one of the ways that Carson is going to have to go about it. If you see that, all right, they got everybody covered downfield, let me pick a gap, get upfield, and let's go.
And with that, with the RPOs, and you talked about Jay Ajayi being successful out of the shotgun more so than being under center. Why is it that you feel like, well, what you've seen that he's better in that regard be than having someone under center just lining up behind the quarterback?
Well, Jay he's a lot quicker than Jordan Howard. He has better feet. He has more lateral ability to jump cut and different things like that to get in and out of a hole. I think I'm talking about 2 years ago now, but what we saw out of Jay Ajayi was some power, was good vision, some quickness, and the ability to explode down the football field. That's why our running attack that Super Bowl year was tough to stop, because we had a couple guys that had that same ability. Now, again, this is a big question mark because we have not seen Jay Ajayi in years. So now we have to say, okay, we're going on blind faith that he still has that same ability. And I'll tell you right now, after I took a year off of football, I felt absolutely great. Did I have that same ability that I did a year ago? Absolutely not. So I'm not quite sure what we'll get from Jay Ajayi.
Yeah, I'll say this is that you bring up the last two games with Cleveland and also with
Baltimore.
With Baltimore, right? So the biggest difference between the teams is that they had a number one receiver. Someone
absolutely
out there that can take the top off the defense. And Hollywood Brown, you saw Hollywood Brown getting open on Gilmore a bunch because he can run, and you have to respect that. So you have to play certain defenses versus a guy like that. Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, you have to play certain defenses. Now you can't just load the box. When you look out there at the Eagles receivers and you don't scoff at them, right? That's what the New England Patriots defenders like. Oh, look, we can play whatever we want on defense. We can run zero 100% of the time this game and not be afraid, right? That's the type of attitude that the opposing defense is coming into this game with. So as a competitor, the receivers got to know, look, they're going to disrespect us all day. And the reason they're disrespecting us is because they're keeping eight people in the box. They're saying, Carson, you have to be good enough with your arm to beat us. Run it every now and again. We're going to hit you once or twice. But the receivers are going to have to get open in order to win this game. Can we do that? The verdict is still out. Alshon's not out there.
Yeah.
Jordan's back. And we have a plethora of other guys that gave up seven drops the last time Alshon wasn't there. Yeah. So hopefully they can turn it around this game.
And I want to ask you that on the other side. But B, real fast, before you get to your point, before we go to break, the concerns that you have with Jay Ajayi, yes, he might feel great, but some of the stuff that you said, we haven't seen him. How much of that is also the handoffs, where it's not an issue between he and Carson not being out there for a long time together, and a simple exchange could become a problem?
Well, there's a reason why you go through training camp. There's a reason why you go through the mini camp. If you could just show up in week 12, week 11, it's week 12, and be an explosive player, then a bunch of guys would do that, right?
Yeah.
It's just hard to do it.
Right.
You got to get your body ready. I'm certainly excited to see what Jay can do. I'm not 100% certain that it's going to be the outcome that we want.
Yeah, well, Jay, and we'll get to the wide receivers on the other side. Again, as we broadcast live from the all-new Parks Casino here at the Great Sportsbook here. Don't forget, the Fanatic Pro Shop has arrived. Quality Fanatic and Philadelphia sports-themed merchandise and apparel at discount prices. Open for browsing now, just in time for the holiday gift shopping season. The Fanatic Pro Shop at 97.5, the Fanatic. .com, the pregame show as we lead into Sixers basketball right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. They tip off in Cleveland at 3:00 between the Sixers and the Cleveland Cavaliers. We are an abbreviated show today, but we have a lot to cover, and we will do so as we continue on the other side with Trey Thomas, Brian Westbrook, Jason Devon Givens, live from Ben Salem at the all-new Sportsbook here at Parks Casino right here on The Fanatic.
Live from the beautiful new Parks Casino Sportsbook, this is the Fanatic Pregame Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
You guys have been great in hearing things when I talk about the great people at Parks Casino. My guys and thousands of you have joined me in setting up the accounts, betting online, the number one casino in all of PA. That, again, the home team right here in the Delaware Valley, Parks Casino. And we talk about future bets. This is when you can bet on things like who will win the NFC and the AFC, who will have the most passing yards, the most receiving yards, rushing yards for the entire season. And for the NFC, a $100 bet on San Fran to win the conference. Also, when you do that to win the NFC, you win $300. A $100 bet on New Orleans to win the NFC gets you $240. And a simple $100 bet on the Birds to win the NFC wins $1,000. You can't beat that, or can you? Now you jump into the AFC. A $100 bet on Baltimore or Kansas City to win the AFC wins you $450. How about this one? Bet on the most regular season passing yards. A $100 bet on Carson Wentz wins you $15,000 just in time for the holidays. You love it. So many sports to bet on. So much fun. Spreads, prop bets, parlays, teasers. Download the app right now or go to parkscasino.com/PA. Use promo code GREEN and get your risk-free bet of up to $500. That risk-free bet, refund it as account credit. Bet with the best. Parks Casino and Sportsbook, only online or in person. Those two ways. You must be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
12:46, 97.5 The Fanatic, live from the All New Parks Casino Sportsbook here in Ben Salem, right here on the pregame show. Trey Thomas, Brian Westbrook, Jason Devon.
I am.
Devon Givens with you. Sixers basketball coming up at 3:00 in Cleveland, and they're having their tough stretch, 7-5 last night. But last night, guys, I went to the opening of the 76ers art exhibition.
Yeah.
Downtown at the Fittler Club, 1 South 24th Street. And it was amazing. I had no expectations. I didn't know what to expect from it. I'm like, all right, you guys invite me out to this
thing.
What
are they doing there?
So they have over 300 pieces in this place from
local artists.
12 different countries where you have artists, not just local.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
around
yeah,
the country, yeah. Around the country, all these different countries, they submitted all these pieces of art. And it was amazing how they put it together. It's an art gallery down there, and it's open right now. As a matter of fact, for any of the people who simply could not get there last night to the open, they opened up 11 earlier till about 9 tonight.
Wow.
And it's some great stuff. I put it out on Twitter last night as we did it. It's the 76ers crossover event, not just because they're going to do some other things with music and fashion as they go along. So this was the first thing. And it's presented by Reebok and the Sixers, of course.
Nice.
Great, great stuff. I put some out on Twitter last night, so hopefully you guys can go. You can bid also online at 76ers, sixers.com/76ers crossover.
Okay.
And there was some really, really good people. Like I said, Trey, I had no idea what to expect, right, with all these. Yeah, what are you going to do differently with the art? We know there's some creative people.
Right.
Man, they got really creative with
some
of the stuff that they put out.
How was Matisse's stuff? Because, you know, he's a photographer.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't get a chance to see his stuff because there was so much and so many people who showed up for the invite-only part from 6 to 8 and then the open part for everyone else to come in from 8 to 10 last night.
That's awesome.
I missed Matisse's stuff. I've seen some of his stuff before when I've been at the facility.
Okay.
But I didn't see it last night, but I know his pieces were in there. They're supposed to be there from today, tomorrow, and Tuesday. They play certainly on Wednesday, facing the Knicks back here at home at the center. But a great time all around last night, and it was just some really good stuff.
You know, that's kind of like what I want to get into now moving forward.
And that was perfect for you,
some photography,
perfect
you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't mind getting into some photography, dog. Yeah, you know, yeah. Give me a camera, you know.
Get you a little something?
Yeah, just start setting up some poses, some scenery and shit. Yeah, I really wouldn't mind getting
you
into some.
You
got to
see the smile on the big fella's face right now.
I don't know where he's going.
I can only think of
it. I'm just saying, though, because it's all in the name of art.
Right.
I wouldn't mind dabbling in some of that.
I know where you're going with that. I love it.
If you needed an assistant, then, I mean, here I am. I'll carry the camera.
Just so we can set up some scenes.
That's right.
You know, make sure the lighting and shadows and everything out
again,
of the way.
Again, the Fittler Club, 1 South 24th Street downtown. There's just some great stuff. I got to show you the one thing I have my eye on. This back. Look at this. Look at that. Describe that.
Backboard that has what? All the greats.
All
on
the greats.
Barkley.
Iverson, Barkley.
Yeah.
Doc.
Everybody. That's nice.
Yeah. Look at that.
That's nice.
I wouldn't want to play on a goal.
No, that goes in the house, Jay.
Yeah, Moses Malone.
Yeah. That goes in
it's
the house.
It's a real goal. I wouldn't mess with
that. Yeah, then you have the one young man that's from Philly that does the stadiums and the 3D art,
man.
I mean, he was amazing. I can't think of it, but what an amazing. You have such amazing group of just artists around here, man. It's even just around. Just to see that creative mind is awesome.
It's great, knowing what you do with your place.
Yeah,
and
Pino's Palette, we paint in
New Jersey, in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. It's a fantastic place. Trey, you would love this because it's not just photography. It's also hand painting. The art, it was great. They had people from Reebok designing artwork on sneakers last night live while you were there.
Wow,
so
that's awesome.
Great stuff. So get out there between now and, of course, on Tuesday. And I think that's when the red carpet and stuff with the players and everybody will be there as well on Tuesday. So go out there. Guys, asking you about Jay, the wide receivers. Now we know Alshon Jeffrey out right now with an ankle. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Is he out yet?
No, he's out.
He's out.
Okay.
He's out. So now you're looking at Nelson Aguilar.
Yep.
J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Mac Hollins, who we thought were going to be bumped down with the addition of Jordan Matthews, but they're going to be elevated once again. The wide receiver core, how can they be successful today against the New England Patriots, and what are you looking at Jordan Matthews and his impact being on this team starting today?
Well, as far as the traditional Philly receiver where you have a number one, number two, you have a number three, as a coach, I would literally deviate from that just because our strengths say otherwise. I believe that we should continually focus on Zach Ertz and make him the number one target in all aspects of the passing game.
Mm-hmm.
Goddard and Miles Sanders. Figure out the ways to get those guys the ball. And when we have to incorporate receivers, let's do it to their strengths. All right, let's see Nelson catching some balls in the slot. He's usually good around the line of scrimmage, balls in his hand, that type of thing. Just some quick trickery type of play. And try to figure out ways to maneuver the ball down the field without using the receivers. Right? So that's the first way that you have to think about this going forward.
So we got to ignore them now.
No, I'm not saying you ignore them. They're not the focused.
Okay.
Right? And
okay.
I'm not trying to say anything, I guess it is negative toward them. But the truth of the matter is that our strength is Zach Ertz, Goddard, and Miles Sanders in the pass game.
Okay.
They should be the focus, and everybody else should get the leftovers after that.
Wow.
It's a fact.
I hate saying it as a receiver, but you have to call a spade, right. And when you're going into this game and you're going against the number one pass defense in the National Football League, a team that can play man-to-man in every area, from Patrick Chung sticking Miles Sanders, from the McCourty twins being able to line up on Zach Ertz and Goddard, and having so many guys that can cover. Collins is top five in the league in interceptions. So there are so many people that can cover. So you have to figure out ways to take those coverage guys out of the game, and it's not through the receivers.
Man, let me tell y'all something.
Okay.
If you're telling me right now that we're going to have to play with our receivers getting 2 and 3 catches, we're in trouble. Because that means, just like Trey mentioned earlier, that means 8 or 9 guys in the box on every play. Because normally what happens is you go 12 personnel.
Yeah.
2 tight ends, 2 receivers, and a running back.
Yeah.
And if they're playing man-to-man outside, that's 9 people in the box. And it's just going to be hard sledding for this run game. It's going to be hard because you can't. It's not enough people to block.
There is no fear in the defensive coordinator. There's no fear, meaning that they can play whatever coverage they want because our receivers have not proven they can do anything without Alshon Jeffrey, without DeSean Jackson. So if they want to line up and run 0, meaning 9 people or 8 people in the box whenever they want,
yep,
against 9 people in the box versus 12 personnel, they can actually do that if they want to and not, you know, get hurt by it.
I agree with you. Here's the thing, though. That's the same thing that the Bills said. That's the same thing that the Bears said.
Yeah.
And we still won both of those football games. And so, listen, we're not, those teams are not even close to the caliber,
yeah,
of football team that the Patriots are. But we also have to say, no team in the league has respected our wide receivers all season long, except for the first game of the season when DeSean was out there. And we found a way to get it done. The question has to be at this point is, how do we find a way to get it done despite those guys that we have on the outside from the receiving core?
We got to go to break, guys, and get on Westbrook, right?
Get on them after the break. The Fanatic pregame show, you might have to interrupt because he and Trey going to be talking about their new endeavor of this art.
I'm just an assistant.
In the name of art, though.
You got to get the lighting and everything too.
Yeah,
yeah, the Fanatic pregame show presented by the new Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Me and Jay will be there as well.
I'm not there.
Yes, you are.
No,
in the app store, parkscasino.com/PA. Use promo code GREEN. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. We'll continue Jason's point on the other side. And we got to get some thoughts on the guys from around the league. 2 things that have really stood out from the NFL over this bye week for the Philadelphia Eagles. But it's never a dull moment in the NFL. Some things happened over the last week that we need to discuss. It's the pregame show live from Parks Casino at the all-new Sportsbook here in Bensalem, along with Trey Thomas, Jason Avant, Brian Westbrook. I'm Devon Givens. Back at it on the other side. 1 o'clock hour right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
This is the Fanatic pregame show live from the beautiful new Parks Casino Sportsbook on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, the home team right here in the Delaware Valley. We got to talk about the future sports bets because thousands of you have joined me and set up those accounts that we've been talking about all season long. You can bet online with my guys at Parks Casino Sportsbook, the number one casino in all of Pennsylvania. So here's what you do with the future bets. This is when you can bet on things like who will win the NFC and the AFC. You can win a certain amount on who will have the most passing yards, receiving yards, rushing for the entire season. Jump into the NFC, staying with your Philadelphia squad. $100 bet on San Fran to win. The NFC wins you $300. Put that right in your pocket. $100 bet on New Orleans. That will win you $240, right? Love it. $100 bet on the Birds to win the NFC wins you $1,000. In the AFC, you can go around, put down $100 on Baltimore and Kansas City. That will net you $450. Or you can bet on most regular season passing yards like Carson Wentz of Philly. Getting a $100 bet on him will win you $15,000. So many sports things to bet on, so much fun. We have the spreads, props, parlay, teasers. Just download the app right now or go to partscasino.com/PA like the rest of us have. Use the promo code GREEN and get your risk-free bet of up to $500. Your risk-free bet will be refunded as account credit. Bet with the best, Parks Casino and Sportsbook, online or in person, right here at the all-new Sportsbook. You must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.